listen to this song a little bit, but, you know, the Trump administration is not going to sit and wait for me. They're proposing an easing of auto mileage rules, and on the phone to talk about it is Rebecca Lindland. She's an executive analyst at Kelley Blue Book, and her Twitter handle is Rebel Car Chick. Rebecca, welcome to Bloomberg Markets.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Should I just address you as Rebel Car Chick? Is that, would that be okay?
Yes, that's fine, because it's actually, it's R-E-B-E, the beginning of my last, of my first name, and then L, my last name. It just happens to spell Rebel.
All right. All right, Rebel. What, you seem to like the fact that the Trump administration's easing the rules. Do I get that correctly?
I think it's important to put it into perspective. What I like is the opportunity to more closely align the regulations with a combination of consumer demand and changes we're seeing in the marketplace. And by that, I mean, back in 2012, when these regulations are put in place, first of all, trucks and crossovers and pickup trucks and cars were split right down the line when it comes to new car sales. Now, we're at nearly 70% crossovers, trucks, pickup trucks, SUVs, and cars only about 30%. Now, that isn't to say that we have slid back when it comes to fuel economy improvements. We're kind of stabilized at about 24.5 miles per gallon as a fleet average, according to University of Michigan. But that's actually 20% better than it's been about 10 years ago. So we're making improvements. The other part that wasn't accounted for in conversations and discussions was just the change in mobility as a service. Things like Uber and Lyft, the way people are using cars, car sharing, ride hailing, car subscription services, all these kinds of things, self-driving cars, all of that is all new. And we have the great opportunity to say, how do we make those the most fuel efficient versions? And let's factor those into this equation as well.
Rebecca, do you believe that automobile manufacturers will produce automobiles and light trucks and vehicles that have greater mile per gallon efficiency?
I do. And the reason that I do is because they're going to continue on their path to electrification. General Motors issued a statement just this morning right after the rulemaking, right after this change came out, saying we're going to continue down the path of electrification. And they're going to continue down that path because most autonomous and self-driving cars, most of all, will have to be electrified. They're already down that path.
Rebecca, yeah. I mean, how many electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles are there in the United States? We're talking less than 3%.
It's typically every month, it's less than 3% of new car sales. But assuming the current ownership, traditional ownership model, and Kelley Blue Book's Cox Automotive, who I work for, we are looking forward and into the future and saying that traditional ownership model is starting to fade. We are getting into where fleet sales will be more important. I'm not talking about like government fleet sales. I'm talking about companies like Uber and Lyft owning these types of mobility as a service, where we are getting away from that traditional model.
But what is that? Rebecca, go back to the issue of miles per gallon.
Yes.
What is the incentive? I mean, first of all, do you believe that there is some contribution from automobile and vehicle emissions to global warming?
Of course.
Okay, so then wouldn't it make sense to err on the side of caution and try to reduce those emissions either by having more fuel efficient fossil fuel engines or extending tax credits for electric or hybrid vehicles?
Yes, of course it would.
But that's not what they're proposing at all.
Well, but this is an opportunity to first of all re-up the tax credits, which a company like Tesla just lost, to more closely align incentives with the technology adoption curve, which is now counterintuitive. So we incentivize the earliest adopters with the highest incentives. We actually need the tax credit now when we're trying to go mainstream. We need the tax credit now to say people that are now looking at electric vehicles, those fast followers and late adopters, to say, we're going to give you credit if you put a high-speed charger in your house.
But Rebecca, but that's not what's on the table at all. In fact, what's on the table...
But that can be.
I understand that, but there are a lot of great proposals. But the actual proposal is to get rid of the fuel efficiency rules that would have required automakers to cut emissions enough so that new vehicles that would be sold average more than 50 miles a gallon by 2025. That's not going to happen now.
It's what they've frozen the standards at 2020 for model year 2020. They've frozen those standards, which are already greatly improved from what they used to be. But it also provides an opportunity for discussion about integrating these kinds of new market realities. Because we wouldn't have to have this discussion at all if we had option levels of hybrid and electric vehicles. But what I'm talking about is the manufacturers are going to continue down this path electrification, because that's what autonomous vehicles need and require. So we're going
Rebecca,
to continue down the path.
Rebecca, I'd love to ask you 10 more questions about this, but we're out of time. This is Rebecca Lindland. She's an executive analyst with Kelley Blue Book in Greenwich, Connecticut.